What's going on, everybody? This be your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 58. And I got a special guest on the show tonight. I got my boy Isaiah Friedman. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm great, DJ Anonymous. How you doing?
I'm doing good, you know what I'm saying? Just living life and stuff like that. But before we get into like the questions and the conversation, tell the people about yourself, just a little bit about yourself before we, you know, go deep.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a college sophomore and currently a social editor with Slam Online Magazine. And I also help out a little bit at my school, Syracuse, with our school's basketball team. So it's really fun. I'm making my way in the industry, still pretty early, but very exciting stuff.
That's what's up. So you say you were a sports editor. So like, I guess at a younger age, could we all, you know, when we young, like, we always have that thought in our head, like, what we want to do. Yeah. So, like, what made you want to get into, like, sports editing?
That's a great question. I would say it started pretty early for me compared to some of my peers who I'm lucky that I know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I would say it started about sophomore year of high school where I was playing for the high school basketball team. Okay. I loved basketball, but I also realized I'm never going to be an actual NBA player. Mm-hmm. But I really want to make a career out of sports, and I always loved writing, so I just connected the two, and ever since, I just love writing, and I write all the time now.
That's what's up. So you say that, so did you start writing in high school, like, before you graduated, or that was, like, just after you graduated?
No, definitely. I wrote my last 2 years in high school. I was the sports editor of our high school newspaper, getting to cover kind of every sport, which it was really fun for me to do, and I learned a lot from it. I'm very grateful for the experience.
That's what's up. So I see that you have a lot of experience when it comes to, well, you still, like you say, you still growing. But you work for Slam Magazine as a sports editor. So how's that? Like, how was you able to get that gig?
Yes, sir. I got it. So currently we're in mid-January, and I actually just got it this past October. So I've only been on the job for 4 months, but it's been so much fun. And, you know, I got it in a pretty unorthodox way. They just sent out a tweet asking to send in some applications, and I sent my resume, heard back in a couple weeks. They said they were interested, and I decided I had enough time in my schedule to take the job, and never looked back since.
How's that experience so far?
Oh, it's been so much fun. The people at Slam, they're all so encouraging. Like, obviously, when I started off, I was not perfect. I would mess up articles. I would always be making some kind of mistake, but they kept on. They were with me the whole time. They stuck with me. They were very encouraging throughout all of it, and they've really helped me grow as a writer. And, you know, I've always thought I'm a confident person, but they gave me more confidence, not worrying about messing up as much. And now, because of that, my mistakes, they're really kind of less common these days.
Yeah, that's what's up. So you saying, like, they're more, it's like a family-oriented, like, you know, company.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what's up. Like, I always felt like companies that's like that, they always, you know, advance through time. Because I remember Slam Magazine was actually, I think it was out for a while. Because I remember when I was in high school, everybody wanted to be on cover of Slam Magazine and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's crazy, like, how especially now, like, you see the growth, like, in basketball world, it's becoming more televised, like, on ESPN. Like, you see these high school kids and even some middle school kids, like, getting shown on TV. So, as, like, a journalist, like, what was, like, your first, like, article that you wrote for them?
Ooh, great question. For Slam, my first article, actually, I remember it very distinctly. It was a couple days before the NBA season started, and Jamal Crawford had not yet been signed by the Phoenix Suns. He was still a free agent.
Yeah, I remember that.
And, yeah, the Players Tribune released a really cool piece about his signature, his move, the crazy crossover dribble and stuff. So I wrote a piece on that. I watched the video. I pulled some quotes from him. And basically, he said it was a spontaneous move and that it's not even the full move. Mm-hmm. But said he would only reveal the full move if he got selected to an All-Star game. And since that's probably not going to happen at this point in his career, he said it's like one of the Prince records. It's just going to stay in the vault. And I just thought that was really cool.
Did he ever reach out to you for the article that you done for him?
No, he did not. That was I've interviewed some players for Slam before, but that one was just getting to watch the video and pull some of his quotes from it.
Yeah, because, you know, Jamal Crawford, we always say Jamal Crawford is like the NBA player, like, that's one of them players that's like, he's one of them and-one dudes, like, someone that he do some things that, you know, you never seen before. And you look at, like, players like Steph Curry and Chris Pauls and all them, like, you know, in my opinion, he kind of, you know, influenced them in a way, because he was one of them dudes. Cause I think he was out for a while. He was in the league for a while before them boys came in. Like, I think he came in like in early 2000s or something like that.
Definitely, yeah.
So he was like the, I remember him and what's the other dude name? Austin. Austin was one of them like street cats that was just like on the man one in like the NBA that never was really seen before, you know. So that was dope. So
yeah.
I also see that you interned for the NBA Summer League. How was that?
Yeah, that was definitely, I would say, one of the most enjoyable experiences of my life. I was lucky enough to get the job about a month before school ended.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only 2 weeks, but it is so tiring. And we were going from like 8 a.m. to getting back like near midnight. And people were on fumes the last couple of days, but it's really this huge family. We all got so close. Mm-hmm. And I was just running around recording videos with our reporters, talking to PR, cleaning up trash, just doing really everything. And it's such a team environment, and our bosses were so supportive, and everyone's just working together. And then we were in this really nice hotel that it was just so much fun, and I hope to do it again, although being in Vegas in like the 100-degree heat definitely took a couple years off my life.
Yeah, I heard that Vegas get very hot in the daytime, but at night it get real cool. So yeah, I heard stories about Vegas. I never been to Vegas before, so one day I want to go to Vegas. So like it was really that fast paced though, like, you know, working in the summer league.
Yeah, the pace is ridiculous, and I kind of like that they just throw you in and you kind of gotta fend for yourself. I think that's a really good way to teach people. You gotta make mistakes in order to become competent at what you want to do, and you really learn from them. Like, I had never really used a camera before. I'm more of a journalist reporter, but we had some great reporters working there, so I didn't need to report. So I was given this huge camera I had no idea how to use. I made mistakes, but after the first day I got it down, and I think I got some pretty good shots for us.
That's what's up. And I also seen that you work for the Sports Agent blog, which I'm also familiar with, because I want to be a sports agent one day. So how was that? You know, how's that like working for the Sports Agent blog?
Working with them, they're really flexible in that I don't have any mandates to write articles constantly. So my last article, I just finished one on Patrick Mahomes and his agent, but before that I got to do a really fun thing. I compiled all the NBA agents and I looked at all their clients, and I made a top five starting lineups of each client. And I, spoiler alert, I put Rich Paul first because he represents LeBron, yeah. Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons, John Wall. So yeah. I thought that was really fun. And I heard a couple of the agents actually did get to look at the list, which I found pretty cool.
Who's like the one agent that you like, I guess from afar, that you have more interest in as of right now? Like, who you think are like the hottest ones right now?
That's a great question. I would say, and I know since you want to be a sports agent, you can probably follow these guys too. Mm-hmm. Rich Paul is clearly one of the top guys right now. I also think, you know, Jeff Austin, Casey Wasserman, Jeff Schwartz, those guys represent a lot of quality players. Like Jeff Austin, he represents the Greek Freak and Steph Curry. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like,
crazy client list.
Yeah, like it's amazing how, like, you know, you look at these athletes and like people never, like, see, like, who's behind them to help them, you know, get these deals done and these sponsorships and things like that.
Yeah.
And then you look at the agents, and you also look at the list of, you know, players that they also represent besides, like, the All-Stars. You'd be like, wow, like, it's amazing how, like, they really deal with these players every day. And I know, like, I remember Rich Paul on, I forgot the name of the show that's on ESPN that LeBron had, but he was talking about it, like, how...
Oh, yeah.
How he, like, he don't treat his clients like clients. He treat them like, you know, little brothers and stuff like that. Like, you know, it's like they could call him, he could call them anytime and treat them like family and stuff like that. So Rich Paul, to me, he's one of, like, my favorite agents, because that's something that I want to do. Like, I don't want to just have clients to have clients, but I want to build, like, a family bond.
That's such a good point. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, man. So, and also, you say you did a little piece for SB Nation as well?
Yeah, sometimes I write for their Thunder blog, because I do enjoy watching the Thunder. I'm a big Russell Westbrook and Paul George fan.
Yes.
So, recently, it's been a couple months now, but I wrote a really fun article on Steven Adams.
Yes.
And it was during a time when... It was actually, I would say it's close to a year ago. So Embiid hadn't really cemented himself as the monster he is now. And it was right after Boogie Cousins unfortunately tore his Achilles.
Yeah, I'm
And
that.
I made the case that Steven Adams was the best center in the league. It was kind of a hot take, but I backed it up with evidence. And he's one of the best offensive rebounders in the league, screeners. The team always plays well when he's on the court, efficiency-wise. Mm. And that was a lot of fun to write and dig into, and I got some positive feedback.
Do you think, you know what, me and my homeboys had a conversation about Steve Adams. I know in your opinion.
What'd you say?
In my opinion, like, he's a great player, and I always felt like he's, like, very, like, not just as a center, but as a basketball player, he's very underrated, because...
I agree.
First of all, I'm like, this man still, he just, like, turned 25, like, last summer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this dude still got, like, 10, 12 more years in his tank to, like, he not even in his prime yet. Like, that's scary. You know, so it's like, and I always felt like Steve Adams, Russell Westbrook is phenomenal. Like, KD, when he was there, like, you already know about KD. Like, he was, like, he's one of the best scorers. But I feel like Steve Adams, to me, was, like, the X factor, like, how Draymond is to, like, the Warriors in a way. You know, like, he's quiet, but he's dominant. You know, so. That's what's up, man. You're one of the few people that actually, like, acknowledge that he's, like, the best center, you know, in the league. Because, like, he's underrated.
You know? For sure. I couldn't agree more. He's, I would say he's also the strongest player in the league, I think.
Yeah.
That dude is a rock.
Yes, like, I could tell, like, the other day, I watched one of the highlights, like, this man jumped. To me, he kind of jumped out the gym a little bit. And he's so big. He, like, 7 feet, what, 260, 270? Like, that's crazy.
He's massive.
You know? And also, I see that you intern for the Syracuse basketball. You know, one of the legendary, like, basketball programs. Like, how is that? Like, how does it feel to even have the opportunity to even go to a prestigious college like Syracuse?
Thank you. I'm really blessed in that regard. Working with the team, obviously I'm a low-level intern. And all the big stuff goes to the assistant coaches and the assistants in the office. But just simple stuff like making mail runs, trying to help out and looking at videos with them, talking with assistants, just cleaning the water out, making sure everything is in order. And it may be small, but every bit counts. And an organization and program like Syracuse, they really make you feel heard.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up. So, like, how's, like, the... Like, do you actually go to, like, the games and stuff? Like, you be right there, like, in the... Like, literally by the players and stuff, right?
I don't sit on the bench. I'm lucky enough to... I work games sometimes. I help out with the back area for some of the season ticket holders and help them with that stuff. So yeah, it is. I'm very grateful to be able to go to games sometimes when I can and work at them. And I'm excited to go to the Duke one. December. That'll be crazy.
Yeah, like how is that atmosphere like in Syracuse, like basketball?
It's like nothing I've ever seen before. The crowd is just insane. They're rambunctious, loud, cheery. We really support our team, and it's such a genuine love between the team and the fans, and it's such a great carrier dome too. Like, our dome it's famous and has great acoustics. It's huge. It's like a football stadium, so it really is quite the atmosphere.
And you originally from LA, right? So I know. I know that snow is something totally different, huh? Because me, I'm from Miami, so, like, we hardly see snow. We never see snow, so I already know how it is.
Yeah, the snow is, it's quite the adjustment. I would say it was my biggest qualm about going to Syracuse. And now that I'm here, you know, my aunt and uncle, they're lucky enough to get me really good jackets. And, you know, you just put those on every day. You get out there and you kind of deal with it, you know.
That's what's up. So before we had recorded the podcast, you were saying that you love sports, but basketball was like your main love. Like, why was basketball like your ultimate love, you know, as you know, growing up?
Yeah, that's another great question. I would say, for a multitude of reasons, it was the first sport I actually played, I think. You know, my dad, he put a ball in my hands, and I started shooting in the Nerf hoop. Ever since, I collected basketball cards, and I played in our local basketball league, and my dad coached me. And I was just always lucky to be around the game from such a young age. And I think that just manifested itself over the years to just truly loving it and growing with the game itself. Like, now it's getting bigger every year, and I think in 10 years, with the way the growth numbers are, it'll surpass the NFL in terms of popularity.
You know what, as a football lover, I really think the NBA, like basketball in general, but the NBA itself will pass the NFL, because the NBA is global, you know.
Yeah.
The NFL is, you know, it's mainly here in the United States, but I feel like the way, like, how, like, the players are even more, you know, relatable to the fans, and they can reach out to the fans and stuff. It's more fan friendly than you know, of course, than football and baseball and every other sport. I always felt like basketball will surpass like football, like especially in 10 years from now.
Yeah, like, no, I totally agree with that, man.
So as a social editor, matter of fact, hold on. About to go in this segment right now that I like to do. Like, I like to ask everyone else. Like, so I want to ask you two different top fives. My first top five question is, what was like your, like, I guess your top five moments as a sports editor since like high school, like your top five favorite stories that you've done so far?
That's a great question. I can definitely tell you my favorite. And it's definitely not even my best story, because I wrote it in high school. And I think I've improved. I hope I would have improved since then. But it was over the summer into my senior year of high school. And our school is located in a very convenient place in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that sometimes NBA players train there over the summer. So I had the idea for a story, and I would talk to the players about why they choose our school to practice over the summer. And I was lucky enough to catch Quincy Pondexter. He's currently a forward for the Spurs. And he was really generous with his time, and he told me not only about the school's convenience, but we have a very old gym, and he really brought it back to his roots. And he really enjoyed playing there, and I got a story out of it. And players such as Anthony Davis, Markel Fultz, Dwayne Wade, KD, they've all practiced there. So I thought that was really cool, and it definitely wasn't even my best story. Looking back on it, I had really choppy writing, but it was my first interview with an NBA player, so I'll always remember that.
That's what's up. I remember Pondex. I believe he used to play for the Grizzlies before he went to the Spurs. Yeah, he's a decent player. So like, all right. So like, my second top five question is like, who's your top five NBA players? Either you want to do all time or you want to do right now? Right now.
Yeah.
Because I know all time is that pressure. So what's your top five like right now?
Who I think are the best or my favorite to watch?
Yeah, like your favorite to watch, like in your personal preference.
That's a really good question. I would say five is Russell Westbrook, four is LeBron, three is Luka Doncic, two is Nikola Jokic, and one is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I know that obviously Luka is not the third best player in the league, but I think it's so crazy to see a kid my age just dominating, and he's such a great passer, and he's got that crazy step back, and just to see him so happy and really enjoying the game it's quite a sight to watch, and I have him in my fantasy league, so double points.
You know what, Luka, I always felt like Luka was gonna come and dominate. Like, when I was watching his highlights and stuff and, like, watched some of his games when he, like, overseas, I was like, this man's going to be the real deal. And
for sure.
I was like, the first month and a half, I was like, he's rookie of the year. And, like, ever since his first month, like, in the league and, like, was it January now? Like, he's doing, like, stuff that's, like, ridiculous. Like, I feel like Luka... Cause I had me and my good friend of mine, we had a debate on between him and Ben Simmons, and I was like, if Ben Simmons could develop a shot like he's trying to do recently, and I'm proud of him for that. If Ben Simmons could get like a jump shot, like I feel like he could be like a generational player, but like I feel like Luka is already there. Like he got the shot, he got the passes. He play some defense. Like I know it's his first year, but I feel like Luka, you know, basketball. You probably got to give him a few more years, but I feel like he could be, you know, that generational player. You know, like a LeBron, like a Jordan. You know, like a Kobe, like a Magic. You know, like a Bird. Like, you know, like a Dwayne Wade. Like, I feel like he could be one of them. He could be up there. Cause it's
100%.
It's crazy, like, how he looked, you know, on the court and stuff. And he's, like, your age, 19, 20 years old.
Yeah, man, the dude is a problem.
It's crazy. So, where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
Another loaded question. You're killing it with the questions, dude. I would say right now I've narrowed it down to three things, and luckily I'm young enough that I don't need to choose yet, but one would be a team executive of some sort. It would be a dream to work with one of the 30 NBA teams. I know that's not likely, though, but it can easily happen.
No, it could happen.
If you dream hard enough, it'll come true. Also, second one, obviously sports journalist. I really enjoy it. It's fun. It's something I think I'm getting better at every day, and I can definitely see myself doing that. And the third would be also an NBA agent, which, again, I know how hard it is to break into the industry, but I think it would be a lot of fun if I could successfully do it. And, hey, maybe we can co-rep some players.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We definitely gonna be networking because, you know, I was telling my wife, it's like, you know, I want to start, like, even though I started networking, but I want to start networking heavy, you know, with anyone that's, you know, in the sports industry and stuff like that. So we could definitely do that. Like, we could, because it's the thing I tell people is, like, the NBA, especially the NBA, I feel like football is kind of more, it's kind of difficult, but, like, the NBA and baseball and stuff like that, like, all you really need is what, a degree, and then like you gotta have a lot of money. But if you could find like a player or two, like it's not that hard. Like when I looked up like they like how to be an NBA agent and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Like even like you said, like one of my dreams is to be like a owner. one day, like, for a franchise. Like, it don't matter if it's football, basketball, baseball. Like, I just want to, you know, that's like my 20-year, like, goal, like, in the future. Like, I'm 27, so, like, around my mid-40s, I want to be able to own an actual team, you know what I'm saying? So,
I love it, man. Dream big.
That's what's up, man. Before we close it out, like, you got any shout-outs?
Ooh, shout-outs. Shout-out my little brother, Roy. He's currently a junior in high school. He's balling out right now on the basketball team, and wish him great fortune. And, other than that, he's my one shout-out.
That's what's up. Wait, he's in high school?
Yeah.
What year is he in?
He's a junior right now.
Okay, you never know. That could be your first client. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. I'll let you know, man.
Yeah, man, you never know, man. Do he have any highlights and stuff like that as well to check out?
He's got a couple homemade highlights we can put on YouTube. I'll look into that.
Yeah, let me know. I'd love to see it too, man. So,
thank you.
Like I said, like, I appreciate you coming on the show. How are you? Is you 19, 20 years old?
19, turned 20 March 4th, and I appreciate you for having me, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Man, no problem, man. And, like, you got a bright future, my dude. Like, and, like, the sky's the limit. Like, I'm 27, you 19, so you really got, like, years ahead of you. So, never let no one doubt you and stuff like that. Never let nobody, you know, get a, like, kind of... What's the, what I'm trying to say? Try to get you off track of your dreams, cause you got it, man.
You know, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. You as well.
Thank you, man. We're gonna continue the network too as well. But this has been DJ Anonymous for Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 58 with Isaiah Friedman. Hey, matter of fact, before we close it out, tell them your social media and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, Isaiah Friedman 3. Check it out on the Twitter and the Instagram, of course.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, man. But y'all heard it. And we out.
Thank you, my guy.